Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Shagga Hislop, Jürgen Klinsmann, Gav Marcotti and Steve Nicol will be joining us shortly. We'll kick things off in the Premier League, and what a performance it was from Liverpool. As convincing as you've seen them all season, with a 3-0 win against Leicester City at Anfield, which means they go back to top of the table, level on points with Tottenham Hotspur. Let's welcome in, shall we, Stevie Nicol to the show. Stevie, how impressed were you with Liverpool today?
Wow. I couldn't quite believe what I was saying. You know, you wouldn't have known that Liverpool, from having a fully fit squad to what they have now, making five changes if you include Fabinho going to the back, it was Liverpool-esque. It was Liverpool of old. It's probably the best performance from start to finish from a Liverpool team since a restart, considering what they had on the field. And if I'm Jürgen Klinsmann, I am absolutely delighted tonight that I know that I can make changes and nothing changes. An absolutely dominant performance. Should have been 6 or 7, by the way. Particularly Firmino, a couple of chances. Just how he hasn't scored more goals than just the one header he got is incredible. But I mean, it was a champion's performance with half a team. That's what it was.
I think Jurgen Klopp, I think, should take more credit than Jurgen Klinsmann, Stevie. But looking at it overall,
I beg your pardon.
How does he do it? How do you make this team, where we take a look at the starting 11, bits and pieces, trying to fit it all together? How does it continue to produce this sort of performances? And we're talking about Leicester City, about a team that started the season so well.
Well, it's all about what goes on in training. It's all about how the manager includes everybody, so that whenever they do get a game, then they're ready for it. They know exactly what's expected, and they can comfortably do it. That's what it's about. It's about looking after your squad. Obviously, you have to build a squad, and clearly Liverpool have built that. You know, whether it's Edwards up the stair with the recruitment, certainly some of the young players. You know, you've got Williams come on for Keita, and you've got Curtis Jones at 19 years of age, who looked like an old pro. So it's a whole combination of looking after the squad and making sure you're ready. And I mean, my goodness, Jürgen Klopp now has choices.
As opposed to Arsenal, Stevie, who we saw drill 0-0 against Leeds today. You'd be concerned, wouldn't you, if you're a fan of the Gunners? It just after all that excitement, after winning the FA Cup and looking good leading into the season, there was just nothing at all again from them really today.
No, and the fact that Pepe gets sent off, it makes it easy for Arteta to talk about how well they did with only 10 men for basically most of the second half, which luckily for him, maybe will take the questions away of what happened. Well, they had 11, because they were no different with 11 than they were with 10. In fact, for a little 5-10 minute spell in the second half with 10 men, they had a couple of opportunities on the break. But yeah, this was dire. It was desperate. And the only thing you can see is that they defended well. But as far as a performance and as far as looking like even contenders for the top four, they looked like an average middle-of-the-table side. That's what they looked like today.
Where's the spark gone, Stevie?
Do you know, I think we actually got a little carried away because, you know, they were so bad and lacking in guts and determination, really, and character, that's what Arteta brought. You know, he didn't bring any fancy football or anything like that. You know, he hasn't really signed anybody. Partey's only had a few games, not that many. So this is basically the same Arsenal squad that he took over, pretty much. And they're just average. The personnel has to be changed for them to get better. He's got them organised. They're good on the break. When Aubameyang's in form, they can win games. But when Aubameyang's not in form, then where are the goals coming from? So I think we just got duped into the fact that Arteta had taken over and they had some guts and some guile, or gore, should I say. Certainly not guile.
Arsenal could argue, though, Shaq, that they could have had a penalty in the second half, the handball that we saw from Leeds in the box?
Yes, it could have. I think it comes off the defender first before striking the arm, and so it would have been harsh. So, in all honesty...
Because it hits his foot first,
it does, yes. Yeah, the initial strike from Aubameyang catches his foot first and then onto the arm. So I don't think the referee could have given it. But then, even so, that's just papering over the cracks for a poor Arsenal performance, as Stevie Riley points out. Now, the thing for me is... As excited as we get about, or we're getting about Arsenal and maybe their prospects, it's games like these where you see Arsenal's lack of leadership on the field. You maybe hope for it from Arteta on the sidelines, but you need to have somebody on the park. And maybe Thomas Partey is that player in the long term, but he's not on the field today. And you see a rudderless Arsenal when things aren't going your way. As a result, and that for me is where they've let themselves down. I also expected that Willian, coming from Chelsea, winning the titles that he's done, would bring that mentality to the dressing room. But again, it just doesn't seem to be his character, or he certainly hasn't been able to have that kind of an impact on the Arsenal dressing room so far.
No surprise, Arsenal's odds have drifted somewhat when it comes to winning the title. They are 80-1 now. Spurs, however, their North London rivals have been tightened after that victory against Manchester City. Spurs now 5-1. Liverpool, more favourite now at 11-8. City have drifted to 13-5. Chelsea at 5-1 as well. Jurgen Klinsmann, your former side, Spurs, of course, looking good. Yesterday, a great win for Jose Mourinho's team against Manchester City. Where do you stand on their title chances?
Well, I mentioned it several times that there is definitely a chance this year to win the title. And if they really kind of get this piece of mentality that, you know, transmits Jose Mourinho, he's a winner. He's a nasty piece of a coach, I would call him. And if he kind of transmits that to his squad, this belief that it's going to be a marathon, it's going to be a long, long way, but it's going to be a fascinating battle between the top teams there in England this year. I think Spurs definitely has the roster. They have the players to win it this year.
Stevie, where do you stand on Spurs?
Can you say that again?
They have everything except I'm not so sure that they have the confidence to go and just outplay teams. You know, we saw Spurs sitting tight, men behind the ball, breaking against City, fantastic victory. But when have we seen Spurs, from the first whistle to the last whistle, go and dominate teams? And we haven't seen that at all. And so I think they've got the squad that can do that. Like,
Stevie, Spurs fans are shouting Manchester United, they're shouting Southampton at the screens right now.
Why would they do that?
Well, because they thrash United 6-1 and they beat Southampton 6-2. That's dominating, isn't it?
Well, I'm not so sure. Listen, again, it's playing on the break. You know, when they played Manchester United, they sat tight. They didn't go and go toe to toe with Manchester United, because he doesn't do that.
But if it
works,
Stevie, what's the problem with that?
I don't see how a side can go around the Premier League, regardless of who you're playing, and just sit tight and think that you're going to win the Premier League by doing that. You can't do that for 12 months. And there's one actual... Here's the most important thing. I'm not so sure that you can keep players on your side for a whole season if you're going to ask them to do the type of dirty work that they did against City for 90 minutes every time they step on the field. That's a hard thing to do, to keep them on side. You can't keep doing it. You can ask them to do it on occasions, but you can't keep really doing that. So I'm not convinced. I'm not.
Jürgen, does Stevie have a point?
I think Stevie has a point, definitely. I mean, throughout the whole season, the big part of it is locker room management. You know, how to keep your players excited, how to keep them. They're motivated by themselves. They want to badly win titles. You know, but you got to build that chemistry, that they're all on the same page, that they're really convinced this is the right direction. And so this kind of type of management, having everybody behind you, that's what Jurgen Klopp did so amazingly over the last 2 or 3 years with Liverpool. You know, he got them excited and obviously a very attacking-minded style. And this is the big question mark at Spurs. You know, do they melt? Do they really believe in this approach? Which, I mean, Mourinho proved that his approach can win championships. I mean, he did that so many times. So, but everybody needs to be on board. Everybody has to sign up for that throughout the entire year. And Steve has a very crucial point in that.
Shaka, where do you stand on Spurs? Are they the real deal? Go on, Steve.
No, look at Real Madrid. The players couldn't stick him by the end because they were Real Madrid. They were the Galacticos. They were going out and out playing teams. And then Mourinho comes along, and they're starting to play on the counter-attack.
But they won, Stevie. They won.
Why did he run them out of town?
They won with record points. They won La Liga. Dan. And if you're a Spurs fan, Dan. And surely, Stevie, if you're in that Spurs locker room,
none
of them have won the Premier League before, you do whatever Jose Mourinho tells you because you believe him, he's a winner, and he's going to lead you to the title. Why would you doubt it? Why would you question it?
Well, Premier League's not a two-team league.
Well, it has been for the last 3 seasons.
Well, you know, you're talking about why would they question it? Well, they will question it. Dan, I can assure you, if all you're doing is defending and then having to run 50, 60 or 70 yards in order to create a chance and score a goal, you get pretty sick of that. You get pretty sick of that, Dan. Tottenham haven't exactly. You know, you're talking about winning games. It hasn't been flowing football. All of a sudden, they've had spots where they scored 2 or 3 goals. The games you threw in, that's what's happened in them. So I can assure you, players will get sick of absolutely running their guts out every single time they step on the field just to defend.
I think the comparison between Spurs and Real Madrid is an unfair one. Real Madrid, one of the biggest clubs in world football, so dominant domestically and in Europe. But if you draw a parallel to what Mourinho's doing at Spurs now and what he did with Inter Milan, he had Samuel Eto'o playing almost at left back at times for an entire season, and it brought success. I think if you try to sell exactly that to Spurs, it can last for a season. Right. I don't see it lasting for 2, but you have to have success this time around. I think Spurs can get better. The one thing we know is they're hard to beat. And up against top of the table opposition, as we saw against City, they are going to have a game plan to stop you, and they are going to hit you on the break, and they have the pace to do it. Son and Lo Celso late on, and if Gareth Bale comes back to anything like the kind of form that we know, and he is able to contribute meaningfully in the second half of the season in the run-in, certainly they have the ingredients to go on and win this league. Now, that takes a lot of ifs, ands and buts. It has nothing to do with Spurs as well. It means that somehow Liverpool can't continue to cope with any more injuries and Chelsea fall off. But right now, this is as good a Spurs team as we've seen, and potentially as close to a title-winning team as from Spurs that we've seen for many a year.
Thanks, Shaka. Just a reminder, more Premier League action to come on Monday. On the next edition of the show, we'll be reflecting on Southampton against Wolves.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
AC Milan remain top of Serie A after a 3-1 victory against Napoli's. Zlatan Ibrahimovic getting a brace in that game. Sassuolo Milano with a victory over Verona remains second. Roma up to third over Juventus, who of course won on Saturday. Inter Milan fifth, Napoli in sixth. Gab Marcotti is with us. Gab, it's exciting, is it, in Italy? Oh, I can't even speak. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah, it's tremendous. I mean, you can go down the table, five, six teams in the title hunt. Tonight, we saw Milan and Napoli. I thought it was a phenomenal game. And I think this title hunt remains pretty much wide open. And I know we've said it in years past when there are a couple teams involved, and it is a bit of an anomalous season with COVID and no fans and all that jazz. But, Dan, this is legit exciting. Most of these teams play attacking football, and you don't know which way it's going to go.
Milan's sitting at the top of the tree at the moment, Jürgen. Do you feel that they've got enough within them to go all the way?
I think when you talk about AC Milan, you talk about Juventus and even Inter Milan now 5 points behind. They definitely have everything within their roster to win the championship. So it's going to be a marathon for all of them. I think Sassuolo at a certain point will drop down a little bit. But those three that I mentioned, they have definitely the quality to win the championship.
Former Inter Milan striker Jürgen Klinsmann there being obviously as objective as you would expect. Shakira overall, as always, eyes on Juventus. And after a slow start, they looked good yesterday.
Yeah, you're never quite sure what to expect from Juventus with Pirlo coming in, his own lack of experience. How would that play off with Juventus competing on multiple fronts? And similarly for AC Milan, with Zlatan playing as big a role as he has done so far this season ever since he's joined. Now with him injured, I think we get to see if Milan as a team have taken on his mentality and how that transforms not just the next few games, but even when he's back fit again, what it means for them for the run-in. Because the one thing we do know is Juventus know how to close out seasons. We'll see exactly what Milan are made of mentally in these next few weeks and how that will stand them for the close of the season.
Thank you very much, Shaka. More from Shaka, Stevie and Gab are available, of course, on Extra Time. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Real Sociedad extending the lead at the top of the table to 3 points after a 1-0 victory over Cadiz today. Atleti, of course, second after that 1-0 victory on Saturday against Barcelona. Speaking of Barca, you've got to go down to 12th in the table to find Ronald Koeman's side. And Gab Marcotti, the news just gets worse and worse for Ronald Koeman, doesn't it? Obviously losing Ansu Fati. Now he's lost Sergio Roberto and Gerard Piqué at least for 2 months.
Yeah, undoubtedly now, obviously short-staffed at the back. I assume you can plug Serginho Dest at right back, and in the middle, I guess with Roland Araujo also out. Barcelona's official account tweeted a picture of Umtiti, you know, with the headline "Big Sam." Okay. I suppose he's a body you can chuck in there, but I would imagine we're going to see an awful lot of Frankie de Jong perhaps being pressed into action at the back where he's played before, but for Ronald Koeman. But of course, as good as de Jong is, he can't play at the back and in midfield at the same time. And then it becomes a question of, can Pjanic go and fill that role? Do you really want to go with a Pjanic Busquets midfield? As you said, Dan, it gets worse and worse for Ronald Koeman, beyond the performance against Atleti, which really wasn't good. I thought Atleti could have scored two or three more goals.
Yeah, let's pick up on that point, Jurgen. Obviously, this is the game we were looking forward to, Atleti against Barcelona. Atleti superior everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. And it raises a lot of questions now about Barcelona. What is going on? Obviously, injuries hit them badly, but it's also the special year kind of, you know, with what happened with Messi in the break, you know, with his contract situation and then the restart. And so it hasn't all fallen into place yet. So there's so much to discuss about Barcelona at the moment that it's definitely not a lot of fun for Ronald Koeman.
Xhaka, even as someone with as optimistic and positive disposition as yourself, it's very difficult to say anything that you feel that would make Barcelona fans happy at the moment.
Yeah, it is, and concerningly so. Listen, I've said in the past that without Lionel Messi, this is a bang average Barcelona team. I think they've got incredibly talented players, but what you're seeing, especially of late, is a total lack of ideas, a lack of cohesion, a lack of a real game plan. And this comes at both ends of the field. When Dembele picks a ball up and runs at a defence, you think, great, but then you're not seeing what's happening around that or that anybody knows what he's going to do with it. They're so reliant on Lionel Messi against Atletico Madrid. I remember one instance, Lionel Messi gets down to the byline and nobody's in the box in any kind of support. Almost as though they're surprised that he's there and they're not sure what to do when he does get in those positions, which is beyond me that Barcelona don't have a plan going forward. But similarly, at the back, the goal comes from, I think it's Gerard Piqué and Sergio Roberto colliding and the ball falling to Atletico Madrid in midfield and then Carrasco is away.
Yep. Ter Stegen doesn't help.
Ter Stegen does not help. But
you can't play those two at Ter Stegen.
No, but my point is you have two defenders who've played alongside each other for so long, getting in each other's way. And you cannot afford that. That can't be happening in a Barcelona team that are struggling in the way that they have done. Yes, Ter Stegen will take the brunt of the blame for it. But to the point about Barcelona and where it gets better is that nowhere in the park does anybody seem to know what the person standing next to them is going to do or is supposed to be doing. And as a result, it's just a totally fractured performance that you've got these incredibly talented players, arguably the best player in world football, and nobody seems to know what to do about that.
A lot more on the crisis at Barcelona on the next edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to go over to the website and download that. It's available on Monday. Bayern Munich at the top, 1 point clear of Borussia Dortmund and Bayer Leverkusen. But the thing, I suppose, if you're a neutral or one of those chasing teams, Jurgen, you've got to be heartened by what you saw yesterday between Bayern and Werder Bremen, because Bayern did show that there are some frailties there.
Yeah, it was a good sign, at least, you know, that you can stop them at least for one game. I mean, Bremen put in a very good defensive performance. They waited for their counter breaks. They got their goal. So they gave everything they had, and to get away with a point from Munich is a big deal, and it's really important because you want the Bundesliga to be, to be dramatic, to be chasing until the very end of the season. So having now the team so close together is a very positive signal, because otherwise, you know, it would get boring.
Josh Sargent, I thought, was excellent, despite the fact he didn't find the back of the net, Jurgen. He looked really lively throughout this game.
Yes, it did. I think Josh, he's maturing. He's getting stronger and stronger. He gets more confidence. You know, he's playing his games. He gets his minutes. No, he's a very promising talent. And hopefully, you know, with more goals on his shoulders, then over time, he will become a difference maker for Werder Bremen.
We saw him with the assist there. Then he had a couple of the chances late on. And Jurgen, you just feel sometimes he just had a bit too much time to think about it.
Yeah, that's typical for a young striker, because when you have You know, some occasions and you have two thoughts in your mind and then you don't know anymore. Do I execute the first thought or the second thought? Then you get messed up and then you obviously don't finish it. But this is a learning curve Josh Sargent is going through. He is very driven. He is very ambitious. He's will to learn. He's a good listener to his coaches. That's what I hear from Germany. So hopefully he matures and continues to maturing and gets his goals.
Werder Bremen then taking a point. Good save here from Manuel Neuer late on. From one exciting striker to another who is just going to take this world by storm. Of course, voted the Golden Boy yesterday and celebrating that with four goals. Erling Haaland, Jürgen, is just so extraordinarily special.
Yeah, it's just a special kid. I mean, I don't even know where he will go from now on because he's just 20 years old. But he has so much potential. He already proves it in so many areas, not only with Borussia Dortmund, also with his national team. He seems to be very mature for his age. He's extremely driven. So there's so much to come in the future from him. So it's exciting. It's exciting also for the entire Bundesliga.
Four goals in the first person to score four, by the way, since Aubameyang back in 2016. 15 goals in 12 games at the age of 20, Shank. Not bad.
Not bad at all. it's ridiculous what Haaland is doing at his age. He is the complete striker, and it's showing.
Of course, good with his right and left. Gab Marcoli says he needs to
head some more.
Despite the fact he scored four. Meanwhile, in La Liga, Real Sociedad looking to extend their lead at the top of the table. They were in action against Cadiz. Before we go to La Liga, now, let's just take you to the Bayer Leverkusen goal yesterday, which I'm sure you may... Have you seen this, Shaq?
I have, yes.
From the goalkeeper?
Yeah. I'm not sure what you want me to say here, Dan.
Well, I try and defend it.
I can't. There is simply no defending this. It comes off the planted foot at... off your shin into the back of the net.
Yeah, Radetzky with the... He said afterwards, though, I know it's going to go viral, but I'm still going to enjoy my cold beer tonight.
Yeah, I'm
well, in the end, Bayer Leverkusen go on and win the game.
Which is fine. It covers up for your mistake, and it's all about how the dressing room handles that.
Yes.
But as a goalkeeper, as a position that is so individual by nature, as much as you want to celebrate the win with everybody else, that haunts you. That haunts you for a long time.
Thank you very much then to Gab, to Jürgen, to Stevie and to Shaka. Be sure to stay tuned though. We'll be answering your questions on Extra Time. As always, you feel free to tweet us at ESPNFC. Be sure to stay tuned.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. A busy couple of days, isn't it? I know we've all missed international football over all this time, but, you know, we've just about coped with it. We discussed this on the show with Stevie. His second year, Mourinho, unstoppable. He constantly wins the league his second year. Manchester United fans may well disagree. But Stevie, a lot of people were writing Jose Mourinho off, weren't they? As a dinosaur, he was past it. He's kind of proven them wrong a bit.
Well, I think he's not playing any different football than he was. When you had City and Liverpool playing attacking, silky, entertaining, fantastic football, then it made him look a little like a dinosaur. The fact is, the Premier League right now, there isn't really anybody that stands out, and so he can get away with the tactics he's playing right now
So reluctant to give Mourinho any compliments, Stevie.
Look, if you want to sit and watch a team doing that week in and week out, if you're a Spurs fan, I guess you don't care because right now you're winning games.
Gamma Cotty is doing his best Santa Claus impression.
I think Stevie's being slightly harsh. Now, I'll concede that obviously Spurs counter-attack very well. I don't think it's straight out of the playbook that we've seen before. If you look at what he does with Harry Kane, for example, you know, it's different. It's not just having a speedy guy up front leading the line and, you know, lumping balls to him on the counter. I think he drops off and does different things. And, you know, they can probably beat you in different ways. They have a guy like Lo Celso who you can use in certain situations if the other team parks the bus. Look, I don't know that they're going to win the title. They probably won't. And my main concern would be perhaps in central defense, where I'm not a big Eric Dier fan. But I'll tell you what they do now in terms of counterattacking, they do very, very well. And I think they're very well drilled by Mourinho in that. Certainly far better than he was able to drill Manchester United when he was the manager there.
Do you think that when the panellists all predict the same outcome, it jinxes the game? I've only noticed it once or twice, but as a Spurs fan, I was happy this weekend when I heard what everyone thought would happen.
Did we all pick Napoli as well to
beat? You definitely picked Napoli today, yes, Shaq.
Against something against AC Milan. Yeah, it's not a good omen.
In the years that we've worked together, I remember hashtag Shaq a curse.
Yes.
Which was trending at some stage.
I mean, I tried to pass that curse on to many people, but nobody else would have it.
Every prediction you made was wrong.
Yeah. That's about right.
Stevie, does Arteta need to suck up his pride and let Ozil back in the team?
Well, no, because clearly Ozil doesn't do anything that he thinks is going to help the team. Listen, I don't think Arteta would hesitate if he thought he could put Ozil in that team and he would actually make it better. I don't think he's an egomaniac at all, Arteta. I think he's quite a sensible guy. And the way he had them playing, particularly last season, got results. So, no, I think if he thought Ozil could make them better, I think absolutely he would swallow his pride and play him.
What do you think, Gab? 9 goals in 9 games, isn't it, at the moment?
But I said from the start, they should have gone for the rebuild. Instead, they handed out an enormous contract to Aubameyang. They signed Willian on another enormous contract. And they built a team to try and win right now. So adding another guy who's not going to be part of your future, like Mesut Ozil, I don't see how that helps. I think take your licks and try to, if you can't win now, try to turn it into a learning opportunity that's going to make you better next season. And Ozil is not going to be a part of Arsenal next season. And given what happened and given the acrimony between the two, he shouldn't be a part of it this season either.
But Gab, they couldn't have not given Aubameyang a new contract.
Couldn't they?
Well, he's their best player. Who are you going to bring in instead?
I don't have an issue with giving Aubameyang a new contract, but if you're going to do that, then you don't sign Willian when you already have a whole bunch of wingers, whether it's Martinelli or Saka or Nicolas Pepe or whatever. If you go with Aubameyang, then you know maybe you don't extend or maybe you sell Lacazette. At some point you have to look at what you're doing and say, you know, are we in a position to compete right now? In which case, fine, let's go with the older players. Or you say, do we want to be really, really good in 2 or 3 years' time? In which case you invest in younger players. And it seems to me that they haven't done that. They have some tremendous younger players, but they've added a whole bunch of 30-somethings on enormous money around them. And, you know, the risk is that you often do pay a price for that.
Shaka and Stevie. Shaka, let's go with you. Okay. I've never spoken for a while. Given the rivalry emerging between Firmino and Jota at Liverpool, who were the biggest teammate rivals of your playing career? You must say it must have been weird with goalkeepers because you're training alone, you're kind of in your own little bubble. If one doesn't like another, then it must be a bit tricky.
It's tough, yes.
Did you have people who didn't like you?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them. As a goalkeeper, it's different because you work together and you rely on each other for service and you know, whatever drills you go on, you know, you have to maintain a certain standard. You have to maintain a certain level of professionalism. But knowing full well that the only way you're going to get back in the team is if that person gets injured or has a bad run of form, which you don't wish on
anyone. But is that rare because you're you?
No, that's how, as far as I know, all goalkeepers interact. They work on the park, always work well together because you rely on each other so much on the training ground. You might go to dinner with each other, but on the field, goalkeepers get on really well.
Stevie, did you find that as well? I know Firmino and Jota aren't goalkeepers, but that dynamic fascinates me.
I actually wasn't listening to what Shaka said.
What were you doing?
I was trying to come up with a scenario that two players were kind of vying for one spot. But
right.
I guess in the before you had such big squads, you know, you were generally losing like what 13 or 14 players. And again, back then it was all about who was in charge of the jersey. If you were playing well, then that was it. You played, and they didn't change it. So I can't really come up with any.
That's all right. Don't force it,
so
Stevie.
What did Shaka say anyway?
I'm not saying it again.
Shaka said goalkeepers are best friends. That was it. Hey, Gab, which one is more likely to do...
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait. Here we go.
You just reminded me what you said there.
Come on.
I had a couple of goalkeepers at the Revs.
Oh, if only someone had asked you about that initially.
Best friends. Yeah. No, I had two goalkeepers, Aidan Brown and Jürgen Sommer. And I didn't actually know until I actually dropped Jürgen Sommer that he wasn't particularly keen on Mr. Aidan Brown. And he told me in certain ways.
What was your response to that, Stephen?
Brilliant.
We'll never know what Summers said to Stevie. Hey, Gab, which one is more likely to derail Liverpool's season? Alien kidnapping? A plot for the players or injuries? This goes back, of course, to the statement you made, back in January, I think.
Yeah, I think alien kidnapping of Jurgen Klopp is always the single biggest problem that they could face. I mean, you saw it again tonight, right? Five, six out from his best 11, and they put on a performance like that against Leicester City. I genuinely feel like Klopp is the single least replaceable part of this Liverpool team.
Should we go to Stevie and see if he's still frozen?
Let's see.
Is he still frozen?
Has he paid his bill? Have you paid your Wi-Fi bill, Stevie?
it's completely gone. It's gone. Gab, how do you feel about the jam-packed schedule of fixtures? What, if any, are the solutions to avoid player injury? Perhaps the stopping of transcontinental travel for players not playing on their continent of nationality?
I don't get the why transcontinental travel is necessarily, you know, causes so many more injuries than simply the fact that players don't have time to train and recover in their weekly schedules. I think this is a major issue. I think this is an issue where the players' unions have, I think, in some ways let the players down a little bit. I know why they did it. They did it because players' unions in most countries, they don't just look after the guys who play for Manchester United and Real Madrid. They look after the League One and League Two guys, and you know, there was an imperative that they should play and play every game. And, you know, it's not so much a problem. If you're not an international and you don't play European competition, then fine. You're still only playing, you know, once a week, generally, occasionally twice a week. But it is an issue at the top. And I think one of the things that I think they're going to have to consider, or I would like to see them consider, at least going forward, is, I know it's going to sound absurd, but, you know, maybe in the same way that you know, if you're an airline pilot, you can only get back and pilot a plane if you've had X amount of rest from the last time you were out. You know, maybe you have a rule that you can only play X amount of minutes in the previous 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is. But I think we have to seriously consider that, because it's not just injuries, it's also poor performances. Players who are not fit, and we saw that with Man City just before the break when they played, was it Liverpool they played, they're not going to turn in good performances. It's as simple as that. And then you have a crappy product out on the pitch. So I think hopefully next season's not going to be like this, but it is something to think about, because in the end, you're going to get diminishing returns.
So let me just be clear. The solution here proposed by that question is, if you're not European, you don't play international football.
Is that it?
That's what I take from the tweet. I
just heard pilot. Is Kepa the worst signing of all time, now that we can see what Mendy can do for a quarter of the price?
That's harsh. The worst signing of all time.
Worst signing of all time.
That's...
Where's Nicolas Pepe? Hello? There's a lot of... it's all down to money, isn't it? You could throw at the moment in Antoine Griezmann.
Correct. Which I was about to say, which is more money.
Eden Hazard you could throw in as well for Real Madrid. Of recent signings and with money...
They were more than Kepa and easy replaced.
Coutinho.
Yeah, again.
Stop mentioning Barcelona, guys, Dan. Why are you so anti-Barcelona?
He said Hazard. He said Eden Hazard.
Dembele.
He said Eden Hazard.
Kevin Prince-Boateng?
No, that's not how much money. We're talking big money, Shaka. That's not Shaka. What's your name, Gab?
He's Gab.
We're talking big money, aren't we?
He's going to pay him a lot of money.
Yeah, but no one cares about that big. You care about big transfer fees, don't you? When you think of those ones... Like Kepa, record-breaking fee for a goalkeeper, and he's rubbish. Who else would you throw?
Kepa's obviously not played well, but the thing about Kepa, I mean, realistically, in the accounting world, you know, what's going to happen is he'll probably be sent out on loan, and unless he continues to have massive stinkers, Chelsea will probably sell him for some fee, which will probably be between 20 and 30 million, and they'll take a hit on it, but because he's still young and he has the long-term contract, you know, it's not necessarily going to be as damaging as some other ones. So certainly not a good signing, although, you know, at the time, there's a reason why his fee was so high, which was that, you know, they just moved Courtois on and they had to go and pay his release clause. And then things went from bad to worse very, very quickly.
Yes.
How much did Man United play for? Was it Taibbi? Remember him?
Oh, yes. I don't
know. Gab would know. Right. Gab knows these kinds of things.
I can't believe you're turning on a fellow goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I know Massimo Taibbi is a massive figure of fun, but they paid £4.5 million for him.
That's
all right.
Hey, don't worry about that.
The weird thing is, while he obviously made several high-profile mistakes, he also says, and he told me this himself, that I think in his 5 appearances for Manchester United, he won 2 Man of the Match awards.
Ooh! Yeah. There you are, Shaq. Any Man of the Match awards you win?
I don't know. I lost count.
Stevie? Is Stevie back with us?
Do you want to join? Back.
Hey! There he is!
Hey! Hey, Gab. Obviously the worst re-signing was Ozil, but who was the guy in the early 90s Real Betis signed, the Brazilian, for an absolute fortune?
Danielson, the step-over king.
Oh, yeah.
Danielson. Yeah, there you go.
He wasn't necessarily a massive dud. It's just in relation to, I think the transfer fee at the time was the third or fourth highest in history, and obviously he never quite lived up to it.
Who was a dud then, Gab? You keep defending everyone, and don't say some minuscule peers that we've never heard of.
I'm not. There's a lot of bad signings. There's a lot of overpriced signings. I think what tends to happen
is... We want names. I don't want an explanation. I want a name, Gab.
You mentioned a whole lot of them before.
Well, you shouted at me.
Philippe Coutinho signing. Not a good signing.
There you are.
Happy?
Coutinho's a dud. Right, there we are. Move on. Has Zlatan Ibrahimovic cemented his place as one of the top five greatest strikers of all time? Ooh. Stevie, you said he'd be rubbish in Italy.
I didn't say he'd be rubbish. I basically said he wouldn't be fit. But that is certainly up until now. He did do his hamstring against Napoli. But I didn't expect him to score.
Why are you smiling about that?
Because
his
fitness had a problem with. What?
He did his hamstring.
Yeah. Done his hamstring against Napoli.
I know, but you said that with a smile on your face.
He's out for the season. So I was right. I said no more than 10.
He's got 11.
There you go.
He's got 11.
Yeah, I think the panel took one away today.
top five greatest striker of all time, Gab.
That's a good question.
Top five greatest center forwards of all time. I think it's close. I don't know if you want me to go back to Ferenc Puskas and Gerd Müller and people like that.
Well, that's all time, isn't it?
Put in the conversation.
What's that means that? Ever. I said it's all time. Yeah, that means ever. You can go back. You can go back as far as you want.
Best 39-year-old striker of all time, surely.
How many are there?
Absolutely.
Yes, I think. Yeah, I think without question.
Yeah, I think we can tick that box.
Yeah.
Without going down too much of a rabbit hole.
Good, Dad. Good.
No, I think that's it. Like, it just means we can finish and go home. Yeah. That is it. Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you for your contribution. Wonderful. We will be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.